Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who would have expected it? The little town of Nain to be ground zero on the battlefield between God and anti-God. Between the Lord of life and the death-dealing, life-robbing God of this world, Satan. Yet there it is. Life and death meet, neither willing to give an inch. Jesus in compassion, death in its cold finality. The procession stops and the battle commences. And with only a touch and a word, life wins. Death, which looks so powerful, is forced to flee and relinquish its grip on this man. And suddenly, where there was sorrow, there is now joy. Where there is mourning, there is now faith. God has visited his people, they cry. He has come to give life from the dead. It is a preview, a prologue, to what will take place at Calvary. For there on the cross, the battle will be taken up again between God and anti-God, between life and death. And there on the cross, just as at Nain, the only son of a widow will die. For him there will be no great crowd of mourners, only a few faithful disciples who take his body down and a few faithful women who follow to the tomb to see where he is laid. And death again will look very powerful indeed. But the victory of life here with Jesus will be even greater than at Nain. For when death is defeated in the resurrection of Jesus, it is not just the resurrection of a single son. Jesus' resurrection is the resurrection of all. For not just the Son of Mary, but the Son of God has passed through death to life and left the power of death defeated once and for all. God has visited his people, and there is life from the dead. And this too is what happened in the case of the Apostle Paul, who we heard from in the reading from Galatians today. Now I know what you're thinking, Paul wasn't dead. He was converted on the road to Damascus while he was still very much alive. But Paul was, in fact, dead. He was born spiritually dead in his trespasses and sins, just as we. And no matter what he did, he could not give himself spiritual life. He tried. He tried, and harder than any other person. He was doing everything he could to make sure he had spiritual and eternal life, persecuting the church, advancing in Judaism, being very zealous for the traditions of his fathers. But only when he was visited by Jesus on the road to Damascus was Paul raised from the death of sin to life. Was it really a resurrection that happened to Paul there? A new life? You tell me. Paul went from focusing on what he did, his own efforts and his own advancement, to preaching Christ and what he had done. And in fact, so great was this change, this new life given to Paul, that the people were utterly amazed. All they could say was, "He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy." And they didn't glorify Paul. They glorified God because of Paul. Because of the resurrection and new life that God gave when he visits his people. And this is what happened to you as well. God has visited you and given you life from the dead. Not immediately, as he did with the widow at Nain and with the Apostle Paul, but more like he did with Elijah and the son of the widow at Zarephath. There we heard in the Old Testament reading that Elijah took the widow's dead son, stretched himself out on the boy three times, and prayed to the God of life for life. And God gave life. So that the widow then confessed, "The word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." That is a preview or prologue of what takes place here at the font. When the battle between life and death is taken up again by God in holy baptism. For here, sons and daughters are brought dead in trespasses and sins, but they are taken up in the arms of the pastor, have water applied to them three times, and the word of God spoken to them. And the word of the Lord spoken here is truth. Like at Nain, with simply a touch and a word, death is forced to flee, and sin is forced to relinquish its grip on you. And you were raised and given a new life. For here in these waters, God visits his people and gives life. Here, you were joined to Jesus in these waters and raised in his resurrection. Here in these waters, your spiritual resurrection is the prelude and promise of your physical resurrection. When in the end, your body too will be raised from death to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. We sang in the office hymn right before the sermon. When in the hour of deepest need, we know not where to look for aid. That sounds like the widows we read about today and heard about today. And it sounds like the Apostle Paul, who was looking in the wrong place for what he needed and what he could do. And how often does that describe us? From all the needs that arise in our lives, all the trials and temptations that never seem to stop coming, the stresses and challenges in our lives that are ever new. And when we are faced with death, either our own or that of a friend or loved one. Deep needs. And we know not where to look for aid. Or maybe we know, but feel unworthy. Or think that we have to get ourselves out of this mess, or even think that God won't for all if that is what Satan wants us to believe. That you have no place to go. That you have to do it yourself. We know not where to look for aid. When I was thinking about that, I thought about the oil spill in the Gulf and the pipe that keeps spewing the oil. They keep trying all kinds of things to stop it, but nothing seems to be working. Oh, I know they'll eventually get it stopped, but I thought that was a pretty good picture of us and our sin. When Adam and Eve, in their sin, blew the cap off, and ever since, our sin has been spewing forth into the world. And we can't stop it. All our efforts and ingenuity fail. We can't stop sinning, and we can't stop death. And we know not where to look for aid. Or we know and we forget. Or we know, but we doubt. But did you notice in our readings today, the widows and Paul, who didn't know where to look for aid, God found them. He positioned Elijah to be with that widow in her grief. Jesus came to that widow burying her only son. And Jesus came to Paul while he was on the road to get more Christians. We may not know what to do, but Jesus knows and comes to us. And the gusher of sin started in Eden. Jesus plugged with his own body in death. And now he washes us clean from the filth of sin that has covered us and sets us free with a new life to live. And so just as that little town of Nain became ground zero for Jesus in the battle of life and death, so for us, ground zero is here, where Jesus is still coming and still visiting his people to give us life. Not only at the font, but now also at the altar, as the very body and blood of Jesus are placed into your mouth and pour it over your lips. Here, as you hear those sin-cleansing words, I forgive you all your sins. Here, where in your deepest need, your compassionate Savior comes to you and says, fear not, I am with you. And where I am, the jaws of sin, death, grave, and hell cannot harm you. I have defeated them. I have won. And in me, you have life. And living that new life given to you, ground zero for the Lord's visitation, also then becomes wherever the word of the Lord goes with you. In your home, in your workplace, at your school. For where you speak his word of truth, there our Lord is, and there he is working. Working in the hearts of those who hear. Working to give life from the dead. Doing battle against sin and death. That all may have life. For when God visits his people, there is life. For widows, for apostles, for you. Not a life that means the end of troubles, but endures through them. For the life that your Savior gives is no mere life, but his life. The life of the cross, of love, of suffering, of service, of victory. That life is yours in Him. That life you now live. That life we now live together. A new life, a good life, a good works life, a forgiven life, a resurrection life, a Christ life. It is a life to live now. It is a life to live forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.